Securities and investment advisory service offered through NFP Securities, Inc. Member FINRA, SIPC. Financial Solutions for Business is a member of Partners Financial, an affiliate of NFP Securities, Incorporated. Financial Solutions for Business and NFP Securities are not affiliated.
Welcome to the Ultimate Business Owner Radio Show with Steve Beatty. Steve is the founder of Financial Solutions for Business, the author of the Ultimate Business Owner Plan, and certified exit planning advisor. He uses his 25 years of working with successful business owners and interviews with top advisors and successful business owners to help baby boomer business owners create the business and the life they have always dreamed of. Now, here's Steve.
Thank you, Spike, and welcome back to the Ultimate Business Owner Radio Show. We're here on Friday afternoons helping business owners figure out how to create more of the business and the life that they've always wanted. And we talk about that there's kind of three steps in doing that is to focus on the value of your business and specifically grow and protect and ultimately enjoy the value of the greatest asset that you could ever own, which is your business. Sometimes people forget about that protect stage, and financial planning and proper insurance are a key part of that. And we've got an expert on with us today from Atlanta, Georgia, Greg Freeman. Greg Freeman is with AdvisorServe, and he has a comprehensive financial planning firm that specializes in complex life insurance arrangements. But today he's going to talk about a topic that is so overlooked but can be so important, and that's reviewing your life insurance and getting a second opinion about how it's structured. So, Greg, thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on, Steve.
Thank you for taking time on your Friday afternoon. So we usually start out. Give us a little bit of your background and what brings you to where you are today, Greg.
Well, Steve, I actually started out as an attorney for the SEC in Washington, regulating variable insurance products and life insurance and annuities. Later hired by a corporate legal department to handle their efforts to operate within the securities laws, which led me to Atlanta in 79 when I worked as began working as a financial advisor. So I've been in the profession ever since 1979, with the exception of 2 years when I was the development officer for a nonprofit. More specifically, since 2003, I've been president of Strategic Stewardship, a comprehensive financial planning firm that works with business owners and high net worth clients. And we created a second entity called AdvisorServe, and that's dedicated to serving professional advisors with key intellectual capital in the areas of life, disability, and long-term care insurance, which they sorely need.
Well, there's no question that they sorely need it, and it's kind of one of those throwaway things that people either put off or don't take care of, and we often talk about the need to sit down and do proactive planning, and that's an area that's really important. And obviously there's a lot of people that do what you do, but what do you think are some of the things that makes your firm different, and who are the ideal clients or the target clients that you focus on?
Well, I think probably one of the key things that makes our firm different, although that makes us and 145 other firms different, is that we're part of the Partners Financial System, which is owned by NFP, which is a national independent firm. Inside Partners, there's 146 life insurance and diversified firms such as ours in 34 states across the country with 2,400 people. So this is a very powerful, independent organization with a lot of resources. So the entire enterprise includes property casualty firms, employee benefit firms, and other specialty firms around the country so that when issues arise, we have someone to go to. I guess I'd also add that our AdvisorServe operation provides accountants and attorneys and wealth managers with advice to enable them to better serve their clients in the insurance area that just hasn't been done in the past.
And I think that is a unique comprehensive set of resources that you really have a lot of expertise that you can bring to bear on a situation. And so lots of topics that we could talk about, I realize, but I think that this concept of the policy review and some of the unique things that you're doing there is particularly interesting. You know, what really makes up a good policy review, and why should I do that if I already own life insurance?
You know, and that's a great question because policy reviews are offered by any number of entities. But we think, let me explain what I think are the key components to a good one. First of all, when we're presented with a policy, we're going to collect information on its values and projections and for future performance, paired with a good understanding of why the client actually bought the policy in the first place. We need to know how it's to be used, how the policy was built, who are the beneficiaries, and actually also, very importantly, is the death benefit current? If this is funding a buy-sell, has the business grown in value? We just had a business grow from $35 to $50 million, and someone said, we need to bump up our buy-sell coverage. So we're going to look at that, and then there's three more key components. The second thing is that we want to order up an independent review of the policy, focusing on pricing, performance, company ratings, how it measures up in its particular class of policies issued when they were all issued at whatever particular year that was. And as I said, it's done by an independent firm which has an extensive database of policies issued by most of the carriers in the country. The third of the four elements is that we're going to compare that policy with what many of the major carriers in the current market are offering to make sure it's still competitive. And last and very distinctive is when we do a policy review, we ask the client to sign an authorization and give us permission to collect medical records and have underwriting experts tell us how these clients would be rated if they were going into the market today, you know, whether they're uninsurable, and it actually helps us determine life expectancy, which can have a big role in determining what type of coverage and needs inside, for example, an estate plan. For example, and then and that's very critical because let's say we have come up with the idea that a policy is not really that great. Well, we might also find out that the client is uninsurable, which just made that policy very good because they could never go buy it again in the market. So right. Those are the types of things we want to know.
So give us an example, a couple, you know, war stories, if you will. Any interesting stories that come to mind of things that you uncovered during a review?
Yeah, I think your business owner market would be very alarmed if they had ever uncovered this one problem. We had a client who was the major owner of a business. He formed the business and he brought in his two sons-in-law. The client, because he was critical to the business, felt that the company ought to have some key man life insurance on him, and so he called up an agent and asked for a policy. The client also signed the applications and issued the check to pay for the policy. He signed the check that paid for the policy. When we were reviewing this, we detected one thing. There was not a disclosure form under Section 101J. Now, what does that mean? Well, you all know who Walmart is, but several years ago, Walmart was caught insuring their employees without knowledge of the employees. And they were doing this for a corporate purpose. Well, an employee died, and the family heard there was insurance, but they couldn't have the death benefit, and that created an uproar, and this Section 101J law was signed. And what that simply says is that if insurance is bought on an employee, there has to be proper disclosure. Well, in our case, what we just talked about, do we have any doubt that the guy knew what he was doing when he bought insurance on himself payable to his own company that he was a primary owner of? And yet, because he didn't sign the right disclosure form, the death benefit on his insurance had become income taxable. And that, I mean, these are the crazy things where bad facts make bad law. So as a result, anytime we're working with an insurance policy that is owned by a company on one of the employees, we're going to be looking for that Section 101J paperwork and make sure it was not forgotten. Because if you fail the test, poor guy did, you cannot cure the policy. We have to do very difficult workarounds to find other ways. We had a policy reissued, but you can't just go to the existing policy and fix it. That's one of our key findings with a business owner.
And God knows how common that is. I mean, I would imagine that over the last several years since the laws came into play, that disclosure must be signed. How much business insurance has been sold without that disclosure? So I think that's a critical point for people there. So, you know, going forward as we're, you know, moving towards the end of our time together here, what are some of the kind of tips and strategies and precautions that you give business owners about, A, if they're starting to look at business insurance, or B, if they've already got business insurance, what do I do now?
I think the first thing I would recommend is to make sure that whoever sold the policy has been keeping it up to date. But I think even more importantly would be to go for a second opinion. It's basically a very low, small effort to protect you against a large risk. And I wouldn't get that second opinion from the person who sold you the policy. That, to me, would not be a second opinion.
By definition, basically.
Yeah. So I'd have it bought, and I'd also have the work done by a firm that's not a captive firm inside a single life insurance company. So captive agents are, shall we say, encouraged by their parent companies to keep coverage on the books. Over 12 years ago, I worked for a company that maintained a lapse report on each of their agents. And it was really just a slight bit of pressure not to promote the improvement of existing coverage or changing a policy. Not exactly where the client came first. I'd also ask the auditor what they're going to do for you if you have someone offer to do a policy audit. Make sure they're just not going to try to find you a replacing carrier under the disguise of a policy review that really doesn't have all those elements we just talked about earlier. We find that a lot of policies that business owners have inside of trusts, for example, have trustees that are their friends or their relatives. They don't want to pay a bank to be a trustee when the policy is just, you're just paying premiums. Well, the problem is about 90% of those trustees have not a clue what they're doing or what's the insurance. They're just doing it as a favor. And they don't understand the liability they have. So if you have a client or a friend that's a trustee, I would say to them, why don't you go get a policy audit? Because this will inoculate that trustee from liability. If, you know, you come through with a policy audit that says the policy's doing well, he can show the beneficiaries he's done what he's supposed to do.
That's such valuable advice. I mean, that is not done very often. What percentage of policies do you think that are purchased inside of a trust and set up even properly, but have a friend or a relative as a trustee that have never been reviewed or looked at?
I think the percentage is, I just don't have statistics. I can just tell you from my experience, you're in well above 80 or 90%. Don't understand the need to audit insurance. They think it's once you sign up, it's done and it's locked in. But one of the key things we find is that they're underfunded. Interest rates have gone down continuously for the last 20 years. And if you bought a policy 10 years ago, I can almost assure you the cash values in that contract are less significantly than what it was on the chart when you first bought the policy. So it's really important to have it looked at.
Yeah, there's no question. Have you come across one inside of, as we're wrapping up here, you got one last horror story or success story of a policy that you found that hadn't been reviewed for a long time that you were able to do something better with?
Well, Steve, I don't want to put up false hopes here, but I can tell you we have had situations where we've looked at the numbers, and if the person remained insurable, some policies written, especially the ones written more than 10 years ago for sure, where we've been able to either double the coverage for the same premium or cut the premium in half for the current coverage amount. That kind of a situation is a little rarer these days. It was all over the map a few years ago, but it still happens. And so people are definitely, in some cases, underfunded, and in other cases, they're just overpaying. There's a misalignment going on here that people need to pay attention to.
Well, let's hope that you've inspired them to take that on and really take a look at this valuable asset, because it could be one of the biggest assets that they have, their life insurance, and it certainly is critical for their families and the liquidity for their business and key man situations and to execute buy-sell agreements and to potentially pay estate taxes. So it certainly is a valuable asset that ought to be reviewed and maintained like anything else. If someone wants to get you to review their policy, how could they get in touch with you, Greg?
I can be reached basically in all the usual ways. If they go to our website, www.advisorserve.com, or they can email me at gfreeman@advisorserve.com, or they can give us a call, 770-293-9545. We would be more than happy to talk about this with them.
Well, that's great. And I would highly encourage people to do that, to get that second opinion, because, as Greg said, you'd be surprised at what surprises might be lurking inside of your policies that you have no idea are there, and an expert like Greg can really save your family a lot of grief down the road. So, Greg, thank you very much for your time and your expertise, and we look forward to having you on the show again.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you. Once again, that was Greg Freeman. He can be probably best reached at his email, gfreeman, F-R-E-E-M-A-N, @advisorserve.com. Please get in touch with them. Have them review your policies, because you just never know what's going on inside there. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we are very excited to have Laura Langmire joining us after the break. Five-time best-selling, New York Times best-selling author. You're definitely going to want to hear what she has to say. So please stay tuned through the break. Be right back.
Thank you for listening to the Ultimate Business Owner Radio Show with Steve Beatty. Please visit ultimatebusinessowner.com to contact Steve for more tips, strategies, and precautions to help you create the business and the life you have always dreamed of. Securities and investment advisory service offered through NFP Securities, Inc. Member FINRA, SIPC. Financial Solutions for Business is a member of Partners Financial, an affiliate of NFP Securities, Incorporated. Financial Solutions for Business and NFP Securities are not affiliated.